Our God and our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit. And as we turn to your word now, we pray the Holy Spirit will guide our thoughts so that we may understand this morning the things you want to say to us. And we ask this in the name of Jesus, our Saviour and Lord. Amen. Do sit down. Well, good morning, everybody. And I have to say I have some challenges for you this morning, so be prepared. Anne and I have now been here 12 years or more, and I thank God every day that he did bring us to St. Mary's. I actually think this is a wonderful church, and I think it's a wonderful church for many reasons. I think it'd be true to say it's a very happy church on the whole, and it's a church where we can feel quite comfortable. In fact, that was rather noticeable this morning. When I was about to preach this morning, we had something wrong with the mics. And Catherine and I in the chancel here had to swap mics. It took us quite a while. But it was interesting, you know, nobody got upset at all. We all felt quite comfortable. It was just one of those things that happened, and we weren't bothered about it at all. And I think that is exactly the type of church we are. We can feel very comfortable in here. I think we're a very welcoming church, and I think we're very supportive to people not only in the church but also outside the church. I'm being very complimentary, aren't I? And you know, one of the other things I'm being complimentary is because so many people are involved in the activities of our church. It's just not one or two people who in fact are involved. Now forgive me, I'm going to mention various aspects that are involved in our church, and I certainly may leave some things out, but do forgive me. But we are fortunate. We have church wardens who take a lot of time and effort in looking after the administration of the church. We have a PCC who regularly meet in order to make sure the church is being run properly. The church is kept absolutely beautiful, as you all know. And of course, we appreciate greatly the work of our verger and also the people who help her. And I found out recently, I didn't know this, there's a group of ladies called the Brass Band, and they come in weekly and actually clean the brasses. We have people who help in keeping the gardens beautiful, and I must admit, when we come in every Sunday, it's lovely to see the gardens in the way they are. Then there are faithful groups of people who keep the church open on Wednesdays and on Saturdays. And in fact, we're very grateful to people who, at the end of the service, provide coffee and refreshments for us. We have a good music group and leaders of our singing, for which we can be very grateful. And we could go on and on. Lots of people take part in reading, doing the lessons, and in the intercessions. And then we have a group of people who help, people who want support in prayer at the end of the services. And not least, we actually have a vicar. Now, you might be a bit surprised at me saying that, but actually these days we're actually quite privileged in having a vicar, to be perfectly honest. And I'm sure many of you know, in fact, even in our benefice, we're very short of vicars. And in fact, we also have a vicar who we know, in fact, leads us in God's ways, who supports us and helps us to understand the scriptures, and she supports us as we seek to grow in our Christian faith. So, as I say, I think we can be very proud of our church. Okay. That's the good side. When I was thinking about this, however, when I came to read the two readings this morning from Luke's Gospel and from Hebrews, I thought I was quite challenged. Because although I say all those complimentary things, I did think, are we actually the church that Jesus wants us to be? Because there are several challenges that we face as we read those readings. passage from Luke is really quite familiar to you, I'm sure. Jesus had gone, had been welcomed to a feast at the home of a Pharisee. And when he was there, he noticed how the guests behaved. And you'll not be at all surprised, this happens all the time, doesn't it? But as the guests came in, they chose the most honorable places at the top table. But Jesus said, well, perhaps that really isn't the right thing you should be doing. Because just think, it might well be the host comes along and says to you, well, I'm sorry, but would you mind moving from that high place to this lower place? Because I have somebody here who's more than important than you, and I'd like them to take the high place. And how embarrassing that would be. No, what you should do is take the low place. And then, in fact, think how good you're going to feel when the host comes up to you and says, friend, move up to a better place, and you will be honored in the presence of all your guests. Now, it's easy to think that this is just a bit of advice, practical advice of how to behave. And we can see it could be very helpful in a situation where you could be very embarrassed. But there's far more meaning to it than that if we look into it. When we come to the very opening verse of this chapter in Luke's Gospel, we read he was invited to the house of a prominent Pharisee, and he was being watched. In other words, he was on trial. You see, these Pharisees, they thought that in God's sight, they were top-notch. They were at the very top. And after all, who was this Jesus? Well, he was just a carpenter's son, after all. A trumped-up person who thought very highly of himself. He claimed to be a Messiah. But we've had lots of those in the past. And they've come and they've gone and nothing happened. So who does he think he is telling us these things? No, we are the top notch, and we deserve the highest places in God's kingdom. When I read that, I thought, what is our attitude? Do we think we have the top places in God's kingdom? Do we think, perhaps, that we are, in God's sight, much better than the people who don't come to church? People who don't follow Jesus. You know, I think it's very easy for us to take on that role. We think we're special to God. But in fact, what we have to learn and have to remember, particularly, is those verses from Ephesians which say this: it is by grace that we have been saved through faith. And this not from ourselves, it is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And perhaps also, we should also keep in mind the saying of the reformer John Bradford, there but for the grace of God go I. So let's remember that people outside the church, people who are non-Christians, are loved by God just as much as we are. They are as much important to God as we are. Jesus died on the cross for them, as he did for the thief on the cross, just as much as he did for us. And God offers salvation and a home in heaven to all the world, for God sent his son Jesus to the whole world, and Jesus died for everybody. We are not special. God loves everybody as much as he loves us. And as we remember that, remember that Jesus has given us a responsibility, even a command. And that is that we should make sure that people outside the church know that God loves them as much as he loves us. That's a commission given to all of us. So, what challenges do we now get from the reading from Hebrews? If you want to follow this, it's actually on page 1212. I couldn't help when I saw the 1212. We all remember the phone number, don't we? Whitehall 1212. You may, in fact, anyway, want to turn to that passage, because there are several things in that passage where it says, remember this or do not forget. And actually, I think those words are, in a way, an encouragement, because I'm saying to you that these are some challenges. But I think when we read what the writer is saying, he's actually saying to these people, not do this, you've never done it before, but he says, I know you do these things, but I don't want you to forget to do them. And I want you to remember to do these things that I'm talking about. And I think that's exactly how we should face what I'm saying. Don't consider them too much as a sort of criticism. Don't consider them as that sort of challenge. But just think about them as we reflect, for instance, on the values we have for this church. We have our values set out. They are passionate for God, outward looking, generous, loving, welcoming, and courageous. But now what we're being told is, but just remember these things. Like most of the letters that were written in those days, the letters of the Hebrews, in fact, when you read it, starts off with doctrine, and particularly about the supremacy of Jesus Christ. This letter is written to Jews, and Paul is emphasizing that far above Moses, Jesus is far more supreme than Moses or the angels or the archangels. No matter who, Jesus is supreme. He is the Son of God. And so, in a way, we have a right, therefore, to look at the things that we're being challenged about. So, in verse 1, it says that we are to go on loving our brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, you might say, well, that's pretty obvious. But, you know, for these people, it was something they needed to be reminded of. We all know today of the dispute that's going on in the Middle East, in Israel and between the Palestinians. We know there is hatred between them, and we all, in fact, lament what's going on, and I'm sure we all pray every day that we might have peace in that area. It was just the same in these days that we're talking about here. The Jews and the Gentiles hated each other. But when they became Christians, the writer to the Hebrews is saying, remember, brothers and sisters, you are brothers and sisters, Jew or Gentile, no matter who you are brothers and sisters in Christ, so keep on loving each other. It's perhaps a bit easier for us, but nevertheless, it's there. We must love each other, even perhaps if we have differences over perhaps some interpretation of Scripture. But, and it goes on in verse 2, even more importantly, we ought to show hospitality to strangers. Now, I can remember quite a long time ago when Anne and I first moved to Herefordshire. We happened to go to one church. We'd not been there before. We walked into the church. Nobody said hello to us. We were just offered a prayer book without any comment at all. And we sat down, and people sort of looked at us, but nobody said anything to us. And the vicar, in fact, and it's interesting, I don't remember many sermons, don't even remember my own sermons a couple of weeks afterwards, but I do remember this sermon. It was a sermon on welcoming, and how, in fact, welcoming was so important in Judaism, and so in Christianity as well. We should be very welcoming. So that was an interesting sermon. At the end of the sermon, we walked out. Nobody said anything to us. The vicar was standing there. He looked the other way as we were walking out. There were cups and saucers at the back of the church for refreshments. Nobody said, would you like to come? And we just walked out. We were strangers, and we were not shown hospitality. And we felt very much like that. It didn't actually encourage us to go back to that church, as you can imagine. And so it's important for us. Now we have a wonderful time after our services. We meet at the back, for a lot of us, and we have a wonderful chat. And it's good that we do, that we chat with each other. But every one of us has a responsibility to look out for the stranger, for the person that doesn't come very often. And each of us has a responsibility to make sure that person is involved. It's so easy just to get involved with our friends. It's a natural tendency, isn't it? But let's remember that if there are other people who don't often come to church, that we all make an effort to make sure that these people feel welcome and that we talk to them. And you know, the passage goes on to say that when in fact we do show hospitality to strangers, in fact, in showing the hospitality, you may in fact have entertained angels without realizing it. So you never know who you might speak to at the end of a service. And then we go on in verse 3, to remember those in prison as if you were together with them, and those who are ill-treated as if you yourself were suffering. Now, earlier in this letter, we're told that the recipients of this letter themselves were being persecuted for their faith. We, in fact, are very, very fortunate. We meet together, and the most that we ever have to face is that some people, in fact, don't like us as Christians and might voice that expression. But that's as far as it goes. People in those days, in fact, were being persecuted, were suffering, and even being killed. In fact, we know about how Christians were treated in the Colosseum in those days. But today, you know, the same thing goes on. Perhaps we don't remember, but hundreds of thousands of Christians throughout the world are persecuted because they love Jesus and seek to follow Jesus. And we have a responsibility, this responsibility, to make sure that we help them in some way. So it's important for all of us that we pray for them. And there are societies, of course, which seek to help these Christians. So where we can, we should also be helping and supporting those societies. And yet another challenge. Do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. As I said at the very beginning, we are very fortunate in our church to be able to share rich Christian friendship and fellowship. But it's so important also that we share with others, not just tangible things, and of course we can do this through food bank as one way, but also what we have, which is specific to us, and that is a knowledge of the love of God. A knowledge that because of what Jesus has done for us, we are part of God's family. This is an offer that God makes to everybody. And as I've said already, we have a responsibility not only to help people tangibly, but to help people to be able to share in the very special relationship that we have in God through Jesus Christ. We have a very special relationship with God. We become members of God's family, members of God's church, and as such, we are members of St. Mary's. It's a great privilege, but with that comes the challenges. How are we going to respond? Could I suggest that we now say our vision prayer as a response to what I've said this morning? So let's say together this prayer that is our vision as we think of not looking after ourselves, but meeting the challenges of looking to others as well. So we say together, open our eyes, Lord. Unblock our ears, Lord. Put your words on our lips, Lord. Set our hearts on fire to build your kingdom in our lives, through our church, in our town. In Jesus' name, amen.